School time. I love Sunday school. He's fixing me up there. Get me an oil change ready right now. How many glad to be here this morning? Say amen. I'm glad to be here.
If you got that leg sticking, you
I'll be tripping in this. That's it. See, I'm in good shape now. But it's so good to be back with y'all. Man, I love New Hope. And God knows in the world we're living in now, we need some New Hope. Do I have a witness on that? So y'all are New Hope. You got New Hope. And get your paper and pen ready. We're going to have some Sunday school time. But I am so happy, y'all. And I'll tell you about the not so good news. But here's the good news. I'm so happy to have my son Christopher with me today. He's a deputy sheriff. So if you don't like what I teach, he'll read you the thing and tell you you're going to jail. But anyhow, but he's with me today. And I'm so proud of him. And I know he don't want me to say this, but when he graduated from the University of Alabama, Birmingham with a 4-year degree. Then he went to police academy. And after he graduated, he walked off the platform. There were people standing in line wanting to hire him because he did so good in school. I'm very proud of him. He knows Jesus, and we're just close. And I'm just so happy that you're with me today, and I love you. And y'all's church is so pretty. I told Brother Jimmy I want my picture with my son up in front of this church, if that's all right with y'all. But because then the other part of the news, you remember Debbie Sue? Well, she couldn't be here today because she's preaching at a snake handling service in Coleman. No, you know I was going to say that. You know I was going to care. No, on the serious side, this past Monday, she had part of her colon removed, about a foot. She had diverticulitis. It was very infected, and so they took it out. And she is so mad this morning because she wanted to be here so bad, and she was planning to come. And it was just, I think, yesterday morning, I said, you can't go. You just can't. And so she said, I wanted to be there because she loves y'all so much. So hold her up in prayer as she heals up. But that's where she's at today. And I know she'd want to be here. And she's, as a matter of fact, I talked to her before y'all got here. And she just said, please let everybody know how much she loves this church and loves you. So without a doubt, I'm the blessed one. We're the blessed one to be with y'all. She's the one that's going to want to know everything that happened today. So we can't be here tonight because of her condition. Her temperature is riding right around 100, and she's just really hurting, so we won't get to be here. Next weekend, Lord willing, that'll be all fine. But this weekend, please excuse us after the service. We want to fellowship, and then we're going to get back because I need to be by her. I'm just so grateful for y'all's kindness to accept the fact of how I'm kind of limited because of her condition. But we're going to head out, and tonight, y'all, I know y'all will have a better service than this morning, but thank you for understanding, and definitely I do thank you for praying for her. You know, I'm going to tell you something about, I love Sunday school and all the good stuff, but let me just, I got to read it to you because I couldn't get it right if I didn't. An older preacher told the story of a young minister, since y'all are looking for a preacher, about a young minister who interviewed for a pastorate. And the pulpit committee invited this young preacher over for the interview, and the chairman of the pulpit committee said, son, do you know anything about the Bible? He said, yeah, I know my Bible pretty good. And then he went on to say, he said, the young minister said, I do know my Bible. He says, well, which part of it do you like the best? He said, well, I'm kind of fond of the New Testament. He says, well, let me ask you this. What part in the New Testament do you know the best? He said, well, I know all of it pretty good. And he said, well, tell us the story of the prodigal son. And they're interviewing this young preacher for a pastor. He says, well, I can do that. And so this is what the young candidate for the church said. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now he's telling about the prodigal son. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night. And he fell among stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomer came by and carried him down to the ark of Moses to take care of him. But as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair in a limb and hung there 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards did hunger, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, the three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock and caught a ship to Nineveh. And when he got there, he found Delilah sitting on a wall, and he said, chunk her down, boys, chunk her down. And they said, how many times shall we chuck her down? He said, 70 times 7. Nay, but 70 times 7. And they chucked her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in the mist and picked up the 12 baskets of leftovers. And in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? The committee chairman suddenly interrupted the young preacher, stopped him right there, and he looked at the committee and said, "Fellas, I think we ought to take this young man to the church. He's young, but he sure knows a whole lot about the Bible." I bet y'all have already heard that, and I couldn't tell it without reading it, but I said, talking about Sunday school, I thought you'd really like that story. So that boy is a pastor somewhere, and they're learning more Bible than even God knows. So that's a good story. Would you take your Bible for Sunday school and turn to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. I feel in my heart, I want to talk to you about something during Sunday school that you're doing right now. What you're doing right now where you're at. You know what you're doing? You're doing life. You're doing life. Now, remember when I was with y'all before, I said, I'm not one of these preachers in all these 26 years that I pastored that I wanted to feed everybody. My goal, as I said the last time, is I want to give you a take-home box. I want to give you just enough in your little styrofoam spiritual box that you're going to go home and be hungry and take it home and be hungry to go further than just go to Sunday school. Because what good is it going to do for us to just go to Sunday school for 45 minutes or so, and then that's all, and we forget it, then go and listen to Sunday morning church service, and then forget it? We need to take this with us everywhere we go. So I want to give you just enough to make you hungry, so you're going to say, I'm going to warm this up Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then come back Sunday for another refill. Sound like a winner to y'all? So John chapter 11, this is Sunday school lesson titled today, Life. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Then I want you to look at one other verse in John chapter 14, verse 6. And you know this verse. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to talk about life this morning. So these verses we just read, I want you to make some notes about things. Jesus is life. Jesus is resurrection. Remember that Jesus is... Who is Jesus? He's life, he's resurrection. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Then in John chapter 14, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only life. So with that thought in mind, let's talk about life. But first, let's pray. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I even right now pray for my wife. I pray for Debbie Sue. Lord, I know she's not feeling very well this morning. But her blessing for Christopher and I to come today was... more than it just warmed my heart the way she wanted us to be here. And she's already checked in two or three times and how our trip was. And Lord, I ask you to touch her. And then, Lord, we hear about a fall. Then we hear about a death. And in these prayer requests today, Father, and even as I saw the faces give these prayer requests, these are some sincere needs of people that are cared about. And I ask you, Father, whatever those needs may be, all of the prayer requests that are on the hearts of your people in this room today, Lord, you are the great physician. You are the great comforter. You're the great healer. And I ask you on behalf of those prayer requests for you to just do that perfect will that will bring glory to your Son. Lord, I ask you to help me with this lesson. There's some things, Lord, I really want to share that all of us can maybe, we maybe already know it, and maybe it will spark something inside of us to say, I need to remember this like never before. Help me teach about life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Years and years ago, the Indian Nehru, the Nehru from India, came to the United States of America, and he had one ambition. He says, I want to meet the brain of the United States. And during that time, the brain of the United States was Albert Einstein. And he says, I have only one question for Albert Einstein. When I meet him, the arrangement was made, they met, and he looked at Albert Einstein, Nehru of India, and he asked him the question. He said, simply this, he says, have you, Mr. Einstein, have you found the meaning of life? And Einstein looked back at him and he says, I have not found the meaning of life. That's supposed to have been the brilliant man in America who said, I don't know the meaning of life. Well, Einstein might have not known the meaning of life, but God knows the meaning of life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I really believe I'm going to say some things. You're going to say, man, I wish I would have started to write this down because it's powerful. First of all, number one, the definition of life. A lot of people talk about life, but they don't have a definition of it. So I'm going to give you a good definition for you to remember. Life is the union of soul and body. If you have a body here in a casket, there's no life in it. That's just a body. It requires the soul to be united with that fleshly body. So what is life? You and I right now have something in common, though we're all different. What is life? Life is the union of both soul and body. That's the first thing I want you to remember that. This is God's definition as He sees life. Number two, life does not begin at birth. Life begins at conception. Now, folks, when you're sitting around talking to somebody at Mickey D's or whatever, these are things that you need to be knowledgeable about to be able to explain. Life does not begin at birth. Life begins at conception. That miracle that God creates, when that comes together, it's just not a man and woman making a child. God then gives that soul and body to that that's inside. That's the reason why we're against abortion. Hello. It's because God is the creator. We have no right to destroy anything that God creates. Amen. Amen. So that you understand that. Also, life is loaned to us from God for a chosen period of time. That's the third thing I want you to know about life. Write down Job chapter 1, verse 21. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So understand by Job 1:21, life is given to us by God for the period of time that He allows. So this is the definition of life that we need to make sure we understand. So you got that? It is a combination of soul and body. It's created at conception, not at birth. That's what the world wants you to think, that at birth. Now even at that, they don't even respect that anymore, but we won't even go there. But at the very minute of conception, that is life. And then also realize it is a short time that God gives life and He takes away life. So that is a definition of life. Number two, there is the origin of life. Where did life come from? In order for you and I to answer the question where life comes from, we've got to go back to the Garden of Eden. You just can't go back 10 years, 20 years, 1,000 years. You've got to go back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, write it down, and you can even look at it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So here it is. What is the origin of life? It came from dirt. He took dirt, he made man. And also the Bible says that we're going to return to the dirt. I want to give you the references on that to read later. Job 10, verses 9 through 11. Job chapter 34, verses 14 through 15. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. So we're going to return to the dirt. Everything about us is dirt. You know how you have all the minerals in your body and you take these vitamins, iron and all these things? Because we're made up from the dirt. We are still now what God made us from the beginning. Even though we were born, we're made of the same stuff. Y'all believe that? Now, these are the things you need to understand. But here's the thing, that this dirt, God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. It is God that breathed into us life. When that baby is formed in that mother's womb, whether they're heathen or whoever they may be, we got to hold true to this. God breathed that life into that child. It just wasn't formed by the man and the woman. God breathed into that baby, in that womb, that life and that soul. Now, I want us to make sure I want you to underline this. There's a lot of emphasis among even conservatives that baby can't die because it has a body. We've got to go further than that, ladies and gentlemen. That baby has a soul. That God created a soul. And there seems like they're just this tunnel vision. Well, this got to live because it's a real person. I'm going to go one step further, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible. It's a real soul. And that's another reason why we're for pro-life. Because it's both body and soul. Not just a body that's supposed to be born. There are three kinds of life. Oh, you need to know this. Because when you're sitting around talking to folks, I want you to be able to speak with some knowledge. There's three kinds of life. Number one, there's physical life. Can I prove that? Touch yourself right now. Yeah, it's me. You're physical. Right now, Debbie Sue's at home. She knows she's physical. She's hurting. So there's three kinds of life. There's physical life. Number two, there's spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. That's why we're here today. Brother Stallings and I were talking about earlier about how you get up in the morning, it feels good to come to church. He didn't realize I was going to teach this. You know why we're here today? This isn't just a fan club. This isn't a happy club. We are building our spiritual life. So you have a physical life. No matter what you do with it, it's there until it's over. But you have a spiritual life, and that's why we come to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because you are working and maintaining a spiritual life. That's the reason why you daily walk in Christian ways, because you're keeping that spiritual life healthy. Number three, I said there's physical life. I said there's spiritual life. Number three, there's a third kind of life. There's eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. And then that's when the choice is yours. Choice is not about a baby being born, about the physical life. Boy, this is good, isn't it? That's not where our choice comes in. But you do have a choice on life, on eternal life. You choose heaven or you choose hell. That's where the life. If anybody ever asks you, this is good, I just thought of this, Christopher, get ready. If anybody else says, are you pro-choice? You say, yeah. That'd blow them away. So, I'm pro-choice. You can choose heaven or hell. Because there's three kinds of life. There's physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. So it's pro-choice. You can decide to choose heaven and go be with us. Or you can choose hell. So there is a choice. I pray to God that everybody we talk to in our family knows there's been a day we chose life, eternal life. With Jesus in heaven. Amen? Amen. Number four. Now this is what I think you're going to like this part. The length of life. The length of life. This is very interesting. In Genesis chapter 5, the average age lifespan before the flood was 846 years. They lived an average of 846 years. You know, I have a job at UAB Hospital that buys some beans and potatoes, and we got a lady up there that's 109 years old, and everybody was going around and she's 109 years old. In the Bible times, they were 846 years old before the flood. That was according to Genesis chapter 5. After the flood in Genesis chapter 11, the average lifespan was whittled down to 393 years. So before the flood, 800 some. After the flood, 393. But then during the lifespan of Moses, according to Psalm 90, verse 10, Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70, which is, write this down, 70 years. Then it even goes further. I hear people quote that all the time. My mom quotes it. She's 83. Well, you know, life is 70 and 10, so I'm 83, so God's given me three more than he said I was going to have. But the scripture goes further. It goes on to say that if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow. Now let me read that again. And if by reason of strength they may be 80 years, yet in their strength and labor and sorrow. In other words, that is 80 years. In other words, you're promised by God 70, 70 years. But this is just practical stuff. If you take care of yourself, which I don't do too good of because I like McDonald's hamburgers and stuff. But if you take care of yourself, and then you work and exercise, and then you weigh in the fact of the troubles you're going to have in your life, you can have 80 years. So if you're anything on the other side of that, God is being good to you. And that's the reason why we need to say, my mom needs to say, Lord, thank you for these. And by the way, if you're 30-something, 64, or 164, you need to thank God that the Lord gave you those days. And don't hate them, love them, because God gave them to you. Now, here's the question. I'm going to chase a goat. That's appropriate to stay in this church. Man, isn't it something that even after the fall of Adam and Eve, people still lived that many years, all the way, like you said, Brother Keith, to 393. You know what that was? Adam and Eve had eternal life. And after the fall, can I put it this way for all of us to understand? It took time for that length of life to be whittled down, and sin had more dominion. And that's the reason why we've got now people dying at 60 and 20, because from the beginning, they were living forever, and that seed of life was still in them. Now, I know the Bible says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, that all have sinned. But the reason why these people were still living longer is that seed was still there, but death just kept reigning and reigning, and that's why we're at today, that when you hear about somebody living to be 100 years old, they got fire trucks going in front of their house. But now, because of sin, the lifespan is a lot shorter. So you're promised 80 years with the thought of troubles in your life if you take care of yourself. The Scripture says that. Not a doctor. The Scripture says that. Now here's some verses you're going to want to write down for you to remember. In Psalm 89, verse 47, it says about how short our time is. Can I encourage every one of us, consider how short your time here is on life. I was watching on TV last night, and I do it not every week, it's not religiously, but I watch on that H&I channel, and I love old war movies. I grew up as a kid watching Combat. Some of y'all remember Combat with Sergeant Saunders. Some of y'all not old enough to remember that. And there was another show called Rat Patrol, and that was on TV, out in the, fighting the Germans and the two Jeeps. And that was on TV last night. And can I be honest, there's just like this thing came across me. And it was just like yesterday. And I may cry. But just like yesterday, I was sitting with my dad as a little boy. We were watching Rat Patrol on TV. But the time had just passed away. And I was sitting there on the chair by myself. And Daddy wasn't there. And I was reminded of that verse that I was going to share with you today. We need to remember how short our time is. When Brother Jimmy walked up and saw Christopher this morning, he said, I remember when you was a little fella. And I must admit, there was just something that kind of stabbed me in my heart. Good night, he's a deputy sheriff now. We need to remember how short our life is. And the Bible encourages to do that. That verse I gave you, Psalm 89:47. There's another verse. Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days. That's another reminder. I think about all these great preachers that I've eaten lunch with and heard preach. They're dead now. People that I had so much great admiration, people that were in my church that were so loyal to our ministry, they're buried now. Once again, man is born of woman is few of days. We don't have a long life to live. Make your life count. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. We all would do this in the morning. When I was a kid, we'd go to the car window. Y'all ever do this? And get that vapor on there. And then you turn around. It's gone. These are the examples the Bible's giving. What is your life? It's like a vapor. You see it on the window. Or maybe when you get out of the shower and your mirror's all fogged up, and then, man, you turn around, then it's gone. God is trying to tell us, did you not realize how short your life is? There's another verse. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Life has a set time. It is not, there is not an appointed time to man upon earth? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Job 7:1. You have an appointed time. There, from the time you were born, there was an end date. And there's an appointed time. So that's the reason why you don't know about tomorrow. You only have right now. Write down Genesis 47 verse 9. It said, life is like a journey. Christopher and I took out from Fultondale this morning at 6:15. The journey ended, we got here. Your birth date was when your journey began. You're on the journey now, and there's going to be a day you're going to reach your destiny, either heaven or hell. The Bible is telling you, giving you these examples. What's your life? When you're talking to somebody, you realize your life is like a journey. Remember that time you went to Chattanooga? Remember that time you went to the Grand Canyon? You started and it came to an end? Your life is like a journey. It's going to have an end. I'm giving you some talking points. Psalm 73 verse 20, life is like a dream. You ever have a dream? You have it, then it's over. Have you ever had a dream? He said, you know, I had a dream last night. And I can't remember what it's all about, but I had a dream. Have you never had that way about your life? You know, I've lived my life and I've lived all these years and so many things have happened and I can't even remember it all. Isn't it amazing how relevant the scripture that your life is like a dream? I got and he's given you these things. What's the Lord trying to do to us through these verses to poke at us? Consider what your life is really all about. Even write down this verse. This is a good one too. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 12, life is a shadow. In other words, Ecclesiastes 6:12. In other words, here's a shadow. And then you say, man, look at the shadow that flag waving is causing. And all of a sudden it passes away. That's how your life is. It's here. And as the shadow passes away, you pass away. James chapter 4 verse 14. I've already given you that. Life is a vapor. I'm reiterating that. The individual verse stating that. Psalm 90 verse 9, life is like a tale or a story that's told. It's like when you start telling the story. Remember when the grandkids, the kids are in bed and you start telling them a story for them to go to sleep and before you know it, the story's over. You are now today creating a story. And one day that story's going to be done. It's going to be told. Your life is like a story that is told. The scripture is giving you these examples. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, life is like a water. It's like water spilt on the ground. Take a cup of water, throw it on the grass, and you say, oh man, I spilt my water there. Let me put it, I spilt my Milo's tea on the ground. I love Milo's tea. You know I do. Everybody loves Milo's. Pour that Milo's, then all of a sudden it's gone. It's been absorbed. Your life is like a spilled water on the ground, then it's absorbed, it's gone. You're here today. And then tomorrow, God only knows where you're going to be. Write these verses down. Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Life is like a flower that's soon cut. I know, are these real? No, these are not real, but they're pretty, aren't they? Flower, oh, how beautiful. Then when it's cut, as soon as you bring them to your girlfriend, your wife, or whoever, you realize after it got cut, it's going to be thrown away soon because it's been cut off. There's a day that our life's going to be cut off. We're not going to bloom anymore. We're going to be in eternity. Here's the biggie, and I'm done. What is the purpose of life? Here, I want you to write this down word for word. Life is the moment of time to prepare for a long, long eternity. That is one of the most powerful statements you'll ever hear. Not because Keith said it, but it's the truth. What is the purpose of life? You may say, what's the purpose of my life? I just gave it to you. Life is the moment of time to prepare for a long, long eternity. You know, I really got consumed when I was pastoring the church of trying to get our young people to realize how short life is. Because you know when you're young, you feel like you got the world by the tail and you're going to live forever. You know what I'm saying? You know what this guy did? I know y'all know me now, so you know, yeah, I believe this. I had two of my men bring a roll of toilet paper. And I had one stand on one end and hold it. Christopher, I don't even remember this. He had one end of the toilet paper, and they went real, I guess it was that squeezably soft type. I'm not sure. But they reeled the whole roll all the way across. And we had, you remember how big that auditorium was? And they went all the way across to the other side, and the man held the roll on the other side. And right there in the middle somewhere, I took a permanent marker and I put a dot. I said, that's about your life. There's all eternity. And you may think you live 60, 70, 80 years or 18 years. Compared to eternity, that's a span of life. This other part ahead of you is what you need to focus on. We had a revival breakout that Sunday. What brought the revival, Brother Keith? Ha! Toilet paper did. When I put that dot, that's about the exact example of life in relation to how much is ahead of you in eternity. Does that not get to you? It does to me. So what do? We need to make preparation to live in heaven. Isn't it amazing how much time we make, so much preparation to live here? God help us if we use half that time to make preparation for eternity. Y'all have heard the name D.L. Moody, Crazy Moody. One day a man asked D.L. Moody, he said, Mr. Moody, if you realize you had one more day left to live, how would you live it? He says, I'd live it just like I lived yesterday. Did you get that? He wasn't saying, oh my soul, I wasted a day. He lived such a life for the Lord. He says, I lived my last day just like I did yesterday. Because he was on tune. Is the Lord not speaking to you? My heart right now, I'm up here, but I'm feeling this in my heart. But here's the problem. Can I give you some problems? We live this life like it's forever. That's the first problem. We live like it's forever. This one. Number two. But we know it's not. I mean, you got a cemetery right out there. And you see them everywhere. But we live like this is the only life and we don't think about God. I'm 64. I remember preaching at 10 years old and I'm 64 now. Someone asked me the other day, are you trying to start a new ministry? I said, no, I'm just trying to finish the one I already got. Number three, we should live each day as if it were our last. I'm serious, Lord. I'm getting up today. I don't know what's going to happen. That police officer in Washington this week got hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, they said. He looked handsome, young guy. Did y'all see that? He didn't wake up that morning and say to his wife, honey, listen, I think I want a banana sandwich, and I think I want some sweet tea, and I won't be coming home tonight. Didn't plan that. None of us do. Live today as if it's going to be your last. Number four. Think that when you talk to your loved one about how it could be your last time together. I had a lady in my church that tortured herself because before her husband went to work that morning, she chewed him up about some money he spent writing a check for some fishing stuff. And they left mad at each other. And that was the last conversation they ever had. Let me give you an example. What if right now, whoever you're mad at, or you get mad at somebody, and we grew up saying this way, you just can't see straight. You ever been so mad you just couldn't see straight? What if right at that moment, the Lord said, oh, by the way, she's not going to be alive 2 hours from now. Just suppose you had that insightfulness. Would that problem not mount to zero? You'd immediately say, who cares about that? All that matters is we've only got 2 more hours left together. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we've... I'm not trying to get you to live in a life that's always dread. You think you're going to die. But value life and don't... And there's so much I got to... I'm just simply saying with all my heart. I feel like we're in church right now. Forgive me. But how many times will we say to each other differently if we realize this may be the last time we'll ever be together? This is powerful. Always leave each other with an I love you. If you got my phone right now, I'll give you my code. There's nothing in there I don't care for you to see. Debbie Sue's, I love you. I love you. Always say I love you. Because that may be the very end. And then last but not least, be ready to die. Be ready to die. How do you do that? Know Jesus. I told you I work at UAB Hospital. It's just a job for us to make it, you know. There's a lady that works there. She's a nurse, 51 years old, relatively attractive, never been married. And she just got such a negative attitude. And she's blaming God now. God, I'm a Christian and I never met somebody to marry. I'm 51. And I mean, just yak, just got a bad attitude all the time. And one day I just said, you know what? Nobody wants to be around a bad attitude. It's not God's fault, it's your fault. Look at life with something that God gave you, not something that God cursed you with. Two bricklayers who, some of y'all know about construction, two bricklayers were driving to work to a big job, a hard job. When they passed by, they looked over in the cemetery and there was a graveside service and there was this big, gigantic hole dug and there was a limousine sitting over the big hole, hundreds of arrangements of flowers and dozens of family and friends around it. And the body was sitting in the back in a suit and tie, and money was all around the body. And that motor was running with the air conditioner on it, and they were letting it going down in the ground with an orchestra playing music. And the bricklayer looked at the other one, and he said, now that's living right there. See, that guy was dead. That's not living. But you know, that's the way we look at it. What's life? Having a lot of money. What's life? Everything going your way. What's life? Everybody knowing my name. No, life is knowing God. Life is counting every day as precious. Life is knowing the people you're with. They know you love them and they love you. And when you're gone, you're gone to be with the Lord. That's life. You know what? I'm chasing another goat. We all scream pro-life. Isn't it amazing after a child's 13 years old, we hate them? Isn't it amazing how we turn things off? In other words, we make such a religious thing. Come on now, y'all, stay with me. I'm getting down here where we live. We treasure and value life in the womb. I'm going to tell every one of us today, us. Do you hear what I said? Life is as precious at 20. As it is 20 weeks. And that's where we get it all messed up. No, we got to save it, but then down here we don't even love and talk to one another. God's plan of pro-life is all of it, not just the portion that we want to be political about. Do I still have friends? Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And Lord, I pray that these verses and this thought for Sunday school has made all of us mindful of how precious life is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Thank y'all.